right, y'all. So coming to the stage, we have 5 husbands to allow us to be a fly on the wall to hear what they talk about. When the LS cream liqueur is out, you never know what they're going to say. Thank you again to Puma. Y'all will see Kenny Burns in his, I'm just going to call it Kenny Burns Originals. I don't know what Puma calls it, but he's super fly. And the fellas are Kenny Burns, husband of 23 years. I'm not going to say everybody's years because I don't know them. You know him as Uncle Phil, Adrian Holmes, Chance Brown, who we referenced earlier. I'll let you guys tell him about it. And Bill Bellamy, Black Love Season 3 original. And my own, Tommy Oliver. Hello, 7 years in. Come on, guys. Yes, I called your names. You didn't hear me. Come on. Hey, hey, hey.
All right, I'm going to start off with, let's dive right in. When's the last time one of you was wrong with your wife?
What was the question?
Today. about 3 hours ago.
Tell me about it.
When that happened?
Man, y'all just gonna start trouble. Yeah, right off the bat, huh? We ain't even warm up. About these pants.
Oh! See, y'all ain't gonna be doing that from the
That's
audience.
Right there. Ready for it.
Because y'all married.
So look.
Let me make sure I get this on camera.
Hey, I happened to look for something and it was not there. It wasn't there. I promise you, it was not where she said it was. I looked 3 times. And she happened to go in there and look, and I swear to God, she set me up. And it happened to be in there.
There you go!
You know, so she had to get her I told you so, you know. But yeah, about 3 hours ago. Yeah.
That's cute. That's not a real being wrong.
Hey, you said we.
Yes. Okay. All right. Who else? Something that you actually had to apologize for.
I just say sorry every day just to, you know, just to bank my sorries because I know I'm going to be sorry at some point.
Something you had to apologize for, huh?
I came home with some food the other day and I feel like when I bring food home and I got a lot of shit in my hands, they don't never open the door for me in my house. I feel like that even when I come home from out of town, I got bags and nobody's running to the door. So the other day I had some La Fonda. I don't know if you've ever been to Atlanta, but they have this amazing Mexican called La Fonda. And I'm coming through the door and the kitchen door is locked. Now I got 2 bags in each hand and she in the kitchen. And I'm looking through the window like, you gonna open this door, we gonna got down. And so when she finally opens the door, I'm like, babe, you got to stop doing that. She's like, what you talking about? I'm like, you got to stop not like knowing to come open the door like I do when you come home. Because if you coming home with groceries, I know you've been to the grocery store, you got some food, you got some bags. I'm coming to the door. So long story short, she immediately, what you mean? I'm like, I'm meaning what I'm saying. And she's like, no, the way you're talking to me is. And I'm like, no, but I'm saying how I feel. I'm telling you that I don't think you come to the door when I have bags in my hands. That's how I feel. I want to tell you how I feel. I need you to know how I feel. And then she got mad at me and then went to sleep. And I'm like, we can't go to sleep mad. That's the rule we set 23 years ago. We can't go to sleep mad. That's why we've been married 23 years. So she wakes up the next morning mad. And I said, she said, well, you know you spoke to me. You shouldn't have. I just told you how I felt.
See, then you
I
get in trouble.
I told you how I felt.
You got in trouble for how you were just expressing.
I was just saying how I felt. And I'm not trying. And ladies, you need to know something about your man. He not going to bring up every little thing all the time. But when he bring up something, it's a couple things that come with that offering. It's not the one thing you thinking about. And all I ask was you just to hear me. Y'all want to be heard, right, ladies? Yes.
All of them.
You want to be heard?
Yeah.
So do we.
Absolutely. Yes. They don't want
to. So anyway, I had to apologize. Didn't want to. Still didn't mean it. But I did.
But that journey is so real.
Don't post that, by the way.
It's too late. But that journey is very real. The idea of, hey, you want us to be more vulnerable. You want us to talk about stuff. And then when we do, well, there's an explanation. There's a reason. There is an unintentional minimization of it. And then you now get mad and I got to apologize. Otherwise, you're mad at me.
It's very confusing.
You just have to apologize. It's just, apology just works. Even if you don't mean it, you just say, I was wrong. You know, because if you don't, it makes them feel a certain way. And it's a catch-22. Because if you don't apologize, they're mad at you. When you do apologize, a lot of times they're like, but you ain't say it right.
Right, yeah.
You ain't say it right, right? Like, say it, they be like, say it like you really mean it. Let me see your eyes.
But I don't, because I'm mad at you because I was trying to get you to apologize. Now I got to apologize.
I always say, even when you lose, you win. Because you think, when you say sorry and you just own it, you have a happy home. It creates harmony. And all we want is peace. Yeah. You know, that's really that's at the end of the day, we just want peace and harmony. So if I got to say, if all I got to do is say sorry,
then I'm good.
Then I'm good. So even if I know that I'm right, I'll just, hey, baby, I'm sorry.
But when we say, but seriously, ladies, when we say we sorry, we still want that booty though. Don't be like, they be like, okay, I forgive you, but then the booty tight. You know that? Y'all sleep with all y'all clothes on.
But
and the really bonnet sorry. Sleep with Ugg really boots sorry. On. They don't want to get really up. They still mad.
And the bonnet.
And the bonnet. The bonnet's like on. They lose all the kisses be tight.
Yeah, soften your lips. So why you?
Yeah.
But I want to add this though. In the beginning of relationships though.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, everybody, the men and the woman are trying to be in this relationship together. So they're adhering to things they might not normally adhere to. They're getting along so they can grow. And then they become the best versions of themselves, I think. And that's what's happened in my relationship. But at the same motherfucking time, I just feel like you want to communicate. Right? A lot of my relationship was about communication. I travel the world. I sell fantasy for a living. Like, there's a lot of communication that gets you to 23 years married with two functioning great humans, 22 and 18. But I think that as much as you want to express yourself and want me to hear you, I want to express myself. There are things I'm learning about myself at 50. I just turned 50 years old. I had my birthday party at Prince's house. I did that.
He did. Pays the part.
That pays it. That's my father.
Welcome to your sixth decade.
Thank you. But I just feel like I think a lot of times, you know, especially as I'm getting older, I'm being more expressive. So if that's vulnerability, if that's just
that's
me
good.
Growing up, whatever it is, but I don't want you to dismiss my feelings. And it's almost like it's backwards a little bit. Don't you hear me? I love you, girl. You know, I just...
You're right.
But I think it's also because, at least for me, I don't do it much. And so when I do it, it's because it matters. And there are a lot of times where I'm just not going to say anything. And it's not that I'm sitting on it. I'm just choosing to let it go. But the things that I choose to bring up, it's because it matters. And I want to actually talk about it. And you do want to be heard.
Yeah, I like to express it in the moment. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times as men, we feel a little... sort of timid about saying how we feel about a situation because we know the repercussions could be kind of crazy. So you can't just say how you feel in the moment.
You got to filter. You got to censor.
So you got to be like, in my head, if I say this, we're not going to eat.
Right.
We're not going to eat.
You go ahead. You see the outcome.
It's going to be bad. I'm going to have to walk the dogs 8 times in a row. But at the same time, it is really masterful to be able to communicate in the moment. So that they understand how you feel in the moment. So it's like, babe, well, why would you do that? And she's like, well, I didn't know you. I didn't even know you cared about that. And like, but I was sitting right here and you ain't even asked me if I wanted something to eat too. And you went to get food. Oh, well, I would get you something. You know, but if you don't address
it. If you did that.
But see, it don't work.
It, yeah,
don't
it doesn't work. It's one rule.
It's one rule.
Yes, it, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you are able to, over time, be able to express yourself in the moment, we learn in the moment. 100. It's hard to go backwards.
Yeah.
Are like, you still talking about when we was at the skating rink?
Also, stories start to diverge.
Right, right, right.
And there's no winning that. It's like, well, that's not what happened. Well, what are you going to do about it?
And they have the best memories.
Hey, I just want
they remember that. From the first date you had, what you were wearing, everything.
They think they do.
They, I don't understand how they're like a computer, really. I'm like, I have the short-term memory. I remember like maybe this morning what I had for breakfast, but you know, she goes weeks and months back and pulls out stuff.
I've learned to operate in, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? And what I'm listening to, that ain't gonna lead to no success.
But he live in the garage.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Hey, that ain't gonna be no success, homie.
I know. In your garage.
That's why that nigga's in the audience. Hey.
You were finishing or you're done?
No, I mean, I'm listening and I'm thinking, you know, when you first started out, the first thing I thought about was how did you say it? I was like, hey, what was your tone? Right? I ain't seen nothing wrong with
the content.
Yeah, with the content, but tone is everything.
Tone is everything, yeah.
Tone is everything. It'll change the whole context. But I'm listening as we continue to talk about it, and I'm like, most of these problems, now I've been with my wife 20 plus years, you know, since we was kids. And the majority,
yes, sir.
And the majority of our, you know, arguments, they were on some immature stuff, you know. And what I started to get to was, you know, most times she wrong. I'm gonna say that out here. You know, most times she wrong. But I just start asking myself, like, hey, what are we talking about? Like, what are we really talking about? Man, I'm gonna take a L right here so I can take the W later and get to that thing you was talking about. I'm gonna take a L right here.
Yeah.
Right? On getting that food, you know, you should have, you know, or you told me you ain't want nothing. Why you on my plate now? I ain't gonna argue about that right now. I'm gonna go ahead, baby, eat the fries. You told me you ain't want nothing, though. Right? Yeah. So later, I'm gonna get the W, right? I look at most of my situations like that in almost everything that we do. It's like, hey, listen, do you wanna be happy or you wanna be right? I ain't gonna sit and argue over nothing stupid.
Life is too short, and it's like in a lot of the arguments that we can have are so trivial sometimes, you know? And I always like, babe, it's like, really? Is it worth it? You know, like, let's just, you know, it's all good. Like, you know what I mean? And if I have to say I'm sorry, I'll say I'm sorry for that, even if I don't feel I am. But it's just, we're different people. Women are more emotional, men are physical. And we think differently. Like, so I think the key is empathy. And to,
I like that.
You know, empathy is the key to intimacy as well. And I think that once you're able to validate your partner and really understand where they're coming from, it just opens up another part of their heart, you know, and they're able to love you even more because a lot of times they don't feel heard or seen or validated. Because we always want to fix things. I mean, you know, if they come to us with a problem, we go to the solution
immediately,
like, right? Boom, we fix it. But sometimes it's like they don't want that. They just want to be heard or just to be understood and just to feel what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And so I learned to just sit back and just listen and go, okay, what would you like to do, or what would you like me to do, and how can I be of service? How can I, you know, and also. The five love languages. A lot of people don't know about the five love languages, and I mean, for me, I know what my love languages are, but my love languages may not be the same as my partner.
Absolutely.
You know, you know, you got acts of service, you got words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And if you don't know what your partner's love languages are, you could be doing things, buying her gifts, all these things, and she's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I need quality time. She might need. You know, so it's really important to have these conversations and just really get to know who you are, because you're two completely different individuals. You're unique people. And, you know, you got to understand, like, the manual is very thick in a relationship. It's like, I mean, it's work. It's a work. It's like, you know, it's a lot of work. And we just got to be patient. That's one thing I've really learned over the years. We've been together 7 years. I'm married for two. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I tell you, man, when you find your person, it really, it makes you want to be the best version of yourself. It makes you want to be better. And that's how you know when you found your person. If you're with somebody that doesn't make you want to be better, doesn't champion you, doesn't really want to
push you,
then that's a bit of a flag, you know? And, you know, relationships are all work, but you need to have somebody that makes you want to be better and gets you excited to you know?
I agree. Good. And I think it makes me think of two things. One, people have a tendency to love the way that they want to be loved. And that's not necessarily what the other person needs. And so if somebody has entirely different love language, but you're loving them in the way that you want to be loved, it may be real to you, but it's not being received.
Right.
And if it's not being received, then it's not going to matter. And so it's where communication and understanding and vulnerability comes in, because you're trying, but it's not being felt.
Right.
And so that can be like, I'm doing my best, but you didn't really talk about it.
I got something to add to that.
What you got?
I like what you're saying. I think with relationships, in my experience, 20 years in, is that I think you need to check in. Like, I think because everybody's needs change from, like, where you think where your needs were when you first started with your person, every 2 or 3 years, you were on a new level. You know what I'm saying? You don't listen to the same radio station every day. You know what I mean? You might be on another vibe. I think tapping in with your partner, finding out where they at with it, and then, like, meet at that spot. Because a lot of times we get in rhythms of the old, like, yo, we just gonna do this, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. She might be at 4, 5, 6 today, you know, or this year might be 4, 5, 6, or 7, 8, 9, and you still operating on that first rhythm. It might not, now your relationship getting a little stale, now you like not talking, you in the, you know, you in the den, she in the kitchen, you know, it gets weird. I feel like tapping in every now and then, sit down, like, just like, this is like kind of corny, but I think just sit down and say, yo, what are your needs? What do you want? Like, what are some of the things you into right now? You know, what do you think you would like to be right now? And you'd be like, oh, wow, damn, you want to know? And then you're like, because women are like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I respect all the ladies in here. Women are different than us. Like, they be on different vibes. Like, they'll have, you buy, like, it's like shoes. Like, I ain't wearing heels. I don't want to wear heels today. I'm wearing my flats. You know, then I'm going to go to my sneakers. And I feel love is like that. It's different channels. So every now and then, y'all just sit down and just have a real cool conversation and be like, babe, where you at with it right now? Like, what you into? What you think is your vibe right now? Yeah. And then you'd be surprised. They'll tell you, you know, like, I don't want no bullshit.
check in. Communication is the key.
So let's start with a couple of questions.
Okay.
You've all been married for a long time. Have any of you been to therapy to help your relationships or individually? Do you feel like that's something that's contributed to where you are now, or?
Yes.
Open to it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People think therapy is taboo, but therapy is a beautiful thing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, having a tough time to be going through therapy, going to therapy. Therapy is just to help you to expand and evolve and grow. And so therapy is not a negative thing. And we've done therapy individually. We've done therapy together. And it's been so, such a positive experience. You know, we've grown so much from that. Yeah,
I've experienced it as well. I think it's really good for couples to go that route. Because what I like about it is that you get an opportunity to express yourself without having to feel like, oh my God, if I say this, like, you get one person to sort of be like the referee.
Moderator. You know? Yeah, the neutral. Yeah.
You get somebody that's neutral. And so what happens, what I like about it is you hear better. Yeah. Like, you'll listen, you'll be quiet, like, you'll hear, And you'll be like, oh, snap, I ain't even know. And then you get a chance to talk, and she'll be like, oh, my God, you still caring about that, you know?
Because
I feel like, though, it's like your friends being in your business. I want nobody in my business all the time. And I think there's a... No, listen, I've been married the longest on the stage. How long?
Go ahead, man.
No, well, you agree with me with the therapy, though, right?
I think so. I'm going to let you finish, and then I'm going to... I think
so. So, I just think if you can't work through your problems together, bringing somebody in, not that it doesn't work, but I just don't know how... Because I think that there are God complexes with doctors, with psychiatrists, and people just have to be right in scenarios. You know what I'm saying? I do believe that.
Yeah. But Kenny, I think what it is, I think if I'm listening to you, it's that's your ego.
No, it has nothing to
do with
it.
I don't hear ego in what he's saying. I hear him saying that the two, that it's not for everybody.
That's true.
Right?
I agree.
Now,
why you say have an ego then, big bro?
Right. Don't.
No, but what, the only reason I said that is because you, when you go to somebody else, you're vulnerable. You feel vulnerable as a man.
I gotta be vulnerable with my woman.
Go to your partner.
No, but what I'm saying to you, because I felt the same way, I could relate to you. What I'm saying is when you go to therapy, saying you're saying that you need help. And a lot of times for men, it's hard for us to say that I don't know. So when you go there and you feel like somebody's listening to your personal situation, it makes you feel vulnerable. I did it. I know it's exactly what you're talking about. But what I do like about the courage of it is if you do try it, you will learn things about yourself that you didn't
never
know.
Because
you don't have nobody that's neutral to just be able to listen to you clean. That's what I learned.
So I think it's different for every person and every couple. And there's no one way. It's right. Not yeah. Therapy is a must.
It's a personal
therapy
thing.
Is something that you
well,
never
you could
did.
Just drink alcohol.
but honestly, it's like it's if you think about you know
it
whatever
it does. That's my
I mean, hey, sometimes you want to sip.
If you think about how people like to work out, some people will never go in the gym. They'll do things that are outside and super active, and that's their way. And some people only go in the gym.
Right.
And so neither is wrong. It's just what works for them.
Absolutely.
And I think what's really important is that you know that, hey, if there's a need, you figure out a way to address it. And if it's the two of you, if you need to read something, if you need to do whatever, you figure out what it is without a stigma either way. Oh, you're not going to therapy? Something's wrong with you. Oh, you're going to therapy? Something's wrong.
Correct.
And so as long as you can remove the stigma, it's all good. And what's the next question?
Okay, does anyone have a question? Yes, I'm coming. Oh, I get to pick the people, but thank you.
No, what?
Uh-oh.
Ashley.
I'm scared now.
No, don't be scared.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to ask the panelists one by one what you would say the secret to the success of your marriages are. Starting from with chance.
First and foremost, don't go to therapy. kind of piggybacking off of what they said earlier in terms of what Bill was saying, encouraging change, being okay with change, and meeting your partner with change. Like he was saying that, and all I was doing was sitting here reflecting on me and my wife's, we grew up together. And a lot of our mishaps came from that one subject where we were growing up. And when change happened, the partner was getting uncomfortable. You get comfortable, right? So you don't like to be uncomfortable or see something that your partner's doing that could get you out of that place. So, you know, obviously the one we always hear, communication, you know, but being okay with your partner changing, right? Encouraging them to change, telling them it's okay, and checking in, like he said.
I think never let your expectations exceed your efforts. I think that growing up together seems like we all grew up, you know, we've been in relationships long, especially us three. How long you been married, Tommy?
It's almost 8 years.
Yes, but growing up, literally from young adults to adults, there's a lot of things that change. Finances, opportunity, kids, parents getting older, and you cannot expect your effort to be any less than what you expect from the relationship. And I think that's how my wife and I have been so dynamic as partners, because, you know, we love each other, yes, but we're partners. We have roles in our relationship. We are better at certain things than the other. We know to yield to that in certain instances. And the understanding in that allows us to grow. I don't think you can grow when you're stifled. I don't think you can grow when things aren't checked off the list. But, you know, put that effort in, because it's work. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for people that are easily able to say, I'm done and moving on. That's not what real partnership's about.
If your relationship is really important, you need to treat it as such. And if your relationship matters and you want it to work, there are things that you know are inconsistent with getting to a place where you've been together 20 years or 25 years or 30 years. And part of that includes working on yourself. And being willing to do that and being willing to confront that so that you can be the best version of yourself and be vulnerable in that there are things that you may not be doing or you may not be open to. But it's like you were saying, it's thinking about, and both of you, it's like thinking about the W as, for me, it's the horizon. It's not thinking about, you know, 3 months from now or 6 months from now. It's thinking about 20 years from now and figuring out what I need to do today to make sure that I'm in a position where my wife continues to choose me today, tomorrow, next year, 5 years from now, correct, and making sure that my actions are in line with that.
Give it up for Tommy.
Yes.
You just touched my spirit. Yes. One of my things that I think makes a relationship successful is being willing to listen and try to learn from what you hear. And a lot of times, it's really hard for guys, especially alpha males. Every guy up here is an alpha male. You know, we try to find the solutions. You know, we want to be right, you know, but sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's a misread. Sometimes, you know, you don't understand how your wife feels when the kids is just acting the goddamn fool, you know, and then the carpool line long, and then, you know, the microwave broke and you can't fix it. And it's 11 o'clock and she want to heat up a pot pie, you know. She hot. And you like, baby, eat it cold. It's still the pot pie. And if you put it in the oven, it's going to be 45 minutes too long. You should have got a better goddamn microwave. So it's like those cute little things that to me are the, you know, sort of the ebbs and flows of relationships. You know, I think it's a lot of give and take. But the best advice I would say is being able to admit that you made a mistake, or, you know, I didn't even know you cared. Like, because a lot of times, you know, we don't know. Women think different than we do. You know, guys, I never see dudes fall out. Like, none of my friends, we never fall out. Like, I got the same friends for 25 years. Women fall out at Chick-fil-A.
Because the thing is like,
oh, bitch, I ain't
so true.
This bitch already know I'm lactose.
But yo, it's like, if we got an issue, we're gonna talk about it and it's gonna be done.
Right. We done. Like, women be hovering to it. Ooh, we, when they mad, man. And then you can't even talk to her. Because a lot of times you don't know she mad at her friend. You be like, yeah, I just talked to Felicia. Oh, you talking to Felicia?
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Good timing, Tommy.
I thought y'all was cool.
Well, you know, they say the grass is greener where you water it. And so I think that just really appreciating your woman, being there, listening, communication is the key to a successful relationship. So just being able to check in and just listen to her, to where she's at, like we said, and validating her feelings and removing yourself. Don't don't think that because you feel a certain way, she should feel a certain way. You're two completely different people. And that's what I've learned is like sometimes I would react and get a reaction because I'm not validating or feeling or empathizing with what she's going through.
Absolutely.
And that has changed so much. And, you know, there's so much more harmony because I'm able to step back and go, okay, we're different people. I'm, you know, she's obviously coming to me with, you know, whatever the situation is and expressing her feelings. So I got to just listen. Let me just listen and validate and support and make her feel safe. And because that's the thing, too. They just want to feel safe and supported. And I think that if you can, you know, put all those together and look at yourself, be able to look at your own reflection and see or take accountability for, you know, the role you play. Because a lot of times we point fingers all the time, but a lot of times we're, you know, we're a part of the problem too. And it's like, you know, we got to just say, you know what? I was wrong. Okay, baby. I'll take the zero. I'll take the L, you know, and it's okay. But a lot of us, we always got to be defensive and, you know, the tone. And when we get defensive, they hear that and it just puts gasoline on the fire. And it just creates, you burn the house down. And it's like, well, we could have just had a little, tiny little spark. It didn't have to turn into this huge, you know, flame. But because of how we react as men, sometimes we have the power. Like I say, a woman's like the thermostat in the house. They control the temperature.
Yes.
They control, they're the thermostat. You control the thermostat. We have to be aware of that. You know, if we just want peace and harmony, and we have a lot of power of just how we communicate and just respect them and validate their feelings. And I think if we do that, then you know you're in good shape. Yeah,
Chance.
That was all great. listen, sometimes I'm listening, and we up here, we some good brothers, right? Sometimes when people ask me this question, I feel like it's super important that I'm sitting here and it was just on my heart. And I got to say this. Marry somebody that you like.
Yay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can't just go over that. We up here pouring it out, giving you all these great answers about, but if we miss, I mean, talking, communication, looking down the road, all of that. But if you miss this one key point, if you don't like this person, ain't none of this gonna work.
It ain't nothing to talk about.
If y'all don't like each other, and what I mean by that is, this ain't got nothing to do with lust. This ain't got nothing to do with sex. Well, maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Because you need to like that too. However, what puts a smile on that person's face? Not just know what it is, but do you enjoy it too? Like, do you enjoy participating in that thing that that person truly loves to do?
Right.
Does it mean the same thing to you? If you don't like this person, if you don't enjoy some of the same things, have some things in common, everything that we just said, it ain't gonna work. It's not going to work. You need to enjoy your partner. You need to, we can love all day long. You're going to love by default. I took that one from my wife. But you got to like the person that you with. You got to like them. You need to know what they love to do, what they like to do. You need to like some of the same things and really invest in that. Otherwise, nothing is going to work. And I feel like we up here giving our best effort at giving you great answers. And we may have missed that one key thing. Please, when you're picking your partner, right, pick them first and foremost because you like them.
No lies were told.
No lies
Thank
told.
You, Chunks.
No cap, children.
No cap. All right. Over here, please.
That part.
Who would like you, to ask another question?
Ain't nobody scared
Thank
of you,
you
first
Ashton
of
Jean.
All. Clapping behind the pole.
We have the lady right here with the orange on. Oh, okay. Where we at?
Hi. So I heard you guys say like communication's a big thing, but I also heard you say you'd rather be happy over right. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, how is that not settling? Like, what part of
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you married?
No.
I can answer the question, though. I can answer it.
Oh.
I can tell you.
Let him answer. He said it.
I can answer it. So what I mean by that is, ask yourself how important the argument is.
Is the argument.
Yeah.
Pick your battles. In when you're with a person for a long time, right, certain things can cause frustration, right, that really don't matter. And sometimes you can lose sight of that. You can literally be arguing about whether something was in the closet or not all day long.
Yeah.
And mess up.
And that ain't worth addressing.
It ain't worth addressing. So I could have argued with Tab all the way down the road in the car to come to this nice
about
event.
About the pants she hid.
She hid them pants. She did. But I chose to say, you know what? I got a special event going on where I'm going to get up here and cherish and make good memories. Speak highly about brothers and do something that will make my wife and my family proud.
So amen.
I'm picking to win. That's a win, as
Absolutely.
Opposed to arguing over something that don't matter and carrying it along. I found the pants, right? I found them. That's what matters. So that's what I'm getting at.
Now, we're
talking about something, right, that can be threatening to the family, right? To the family. Then you don't compromise. If I'm doing something as a man or she's doing something as a woman that can jeopardize our family, the name, the legacy, you don't compromise on that. But small things, food, things that you probably don't think that you're going to argue about, when you do find that person that you love, you will argue about those things. And
open
they will fester. Like, yeah, you will.
So compromise is this, before you're married or in a relationship, it's a dirty word, Ben, and it is. But in a marriage, it is a necessity, and it's perfectly fine.
Yes.
Because I am okay losing the battles if it means the war, which is us being together and
is
us
one.
Having
Harmony.
A family together. Like, that's what I'm solving for. I'm not solving for this small ass thing. That's not what it's about. Because there are so many things that Cody and I have disagreed over. And right now we have an incredible family, 3 young boys, and all of Black Love, Inc. But, because I want to be righteous about this small ass thing, so now we're, raising kids separately? There's no more Black Love? There's no more any of that? Because I'm so about being right about it? No, not at all. If that means I need to drink a tall glass and shut the fuck up, then I will. Seriously. And so it's just this thing where you have to know what's important. And if what's important is, for me, making sure that we are together, making sure that she's happy, making sure that we get to raise our family together, then it makes all of the decisions so much clearer. And I have no problem settling on the small stuff if it allows me to live this incredible life with a woman that I love, even if she annoys the shit out of me sometime.
Yeah, and this is not just for you, but I think at the end of the day, if your expectations are that somebody, or that you are supposed to say something in your relationship all the time, that you have to be getting your point across all the time, you're not going to be in a relationship. It's not going to last, because you're going to hurt each other's feelings, and it's going to get to a volatile point where you can't talk without arguing. I've seen it happen a million times. So, we got any more questions?
Yes, we do, Play. Hold on now.
I'm sorry, whose panel was this?
Sorry, I host a lot of shit. I'm used to hosting.
Cody, I got one more question.
Cody said I could.
Hey, you good. Right.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
So we know that marriage is a mirror, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen in the mirror about yourself, and what have you changed from what you've seen?
That is a great question. Great question.
Must be Black women will save the planet.
She's going to be giving us her carpet.
Good-ass question.
I'll start. When I met my wife, I had a rotten tooth. I'm going somewhere. I had a rotten tooth. She said, how you look like that and you got a rotten tooth? I said, my mama never put me on why taking care of your teeth was so important. So not only did I learn about the things that matter, because growing up, single child, you know, single parent, Washington, D.C., locked up at 18, the statistic, I was a statistic. You know, you think you know what you want. You think what you've seen is reality. No, dysfunction is not my reality. You know, he was joking with me earlier because he only calls me Kenny motherfucking Burns. It's because of our Black Love episode. When my wife, you know, Lake Michigan, I was on my knuckles like trying to figure it out. She said, you're Kenny motherfucking Burns. And I've been Kenny motherfucking Burns ever since. And I think that when you have someone show you, to your point, a mirror of yourself, not of the person, the right partner shows you the version, best version of yourself, not what they bring necessarily. And yes, you do need yin to your yang. My wife is, you know, I don't care about money. She has us wealthy like now. Like that wasn't me, right? I might go make it, but she plans it and puts it up. So I think that you just have to understand, one, that your partner is supposed to make you better. Your partner is supposed to say the hard things to you to make you think about your choices and what you want to do and how to direct your energy even. You know, some people have light that's just so bright they don't know how to bottle and sell it. You might need a partner to tell you how to put it in perspective. Not to dumb it down, but to put it in perspective. And that can go, you know, far.
I like that. I like that. When I look in the mirror, I think one of the things that I feel that is really interesting is that the growth of where I started and where I am, you know, I didn't even know I could grow to this level or just like have these type of experiences, get married, raise kids, have a kid in college, kid in high school, travel the world with my family. Like, I didn't even know, like, I never thought about getting married. Like,
your hairline?
Like, yeah, my hairline.
Can't take Kenny anywhere.
Y'all blessed.
He's just wrong, bro.
His follicles are dead. So what happens. No.
Oh, shit.
Me and Kenny been friends forever. So anyway, real quick, because we comedians. Anyway, make a long story short.
It's because I'm light-skinned, he picks on me.
He just light-skinned. So anyway, long story short, what I see in the mirror is growth, and I would have to give that to my wife because, you know, it was forced upon me. You know, the experience, the challenge of, you know, of raising your family, being a husband, balancing a career. It was so many different things I didn't even know I could even do, really, to be honest with you. But I just think that that's what I see. I'm very grateful to have that experience.
So we got time for one last question.
God did.
God did.
Tommy, he got to answer the question.
He got to answer, Tommy. Okay. You rushing people.
We got a clock.
We ain't got to do shit.
Okay, I'll do it real quick. Okay. Listen, for me, when I, first of all, I'm sitting up here next to Bill Bellamy and these amazing brothers. This is because my wife helped me to embrace, first of all, she's a queen. And
yes,
and
they
when
got
you
a
have
cold
a,
accent.
When you have a queen, you have to be, you have to embrace your inner king. And she helped me to do that because I wouldn't be here. Real talk, I would not be here right now. I would not be on this amazing show. You know, living my dream. You know, I was, you know, kind of doing everything. And I wasn't focused on what I really wanted. And she's the one that helped me to understand the power of no and to really focus on what it is I want and not just do everything. And so I started to say no to projects and really focus in on the high vibration roles that I really was attracted to. And once I started to do that, they started to come into my cipher.
Absolutely.
You know, and it wasn't a coincidence. It's just energy. It's frequency. It's like a stereo. When you turn the dial and when you get into that stereo, it's all clear, right?
Yeah.
And that's how it was. And things started to pop off and it was just like, kind of like Neo in the Matrix, you know, you're just like, oh shoot, you know, it just makes things easier. And so I was able to embrace my inner king and just be still, you know, and just really just appreciate, you know, you go, as they say, you can go fast alone, but you go further together, you know.
Oh man, you about to make everybody cry, man. getting and on deep.
Yo, it's true, man. I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed. Absolutely. And I'm grateful. I'm just so grateful.
I love you, baby.
I love you.
Okay, we have
he one came more, to play.
We have one more question over here.
Where we at? Where we looking?
Right here.
Oh, I mean, okay. How you gonna top that?
Finally, we get one guy to ask
a question. I was wondering if we was gonna get some representation. Thank you. Like, okay.
I mean, here's the thing. So, sorry, before you do that, the guys are tripping and sleeping. Where I don't know, like, you usually don't have a lot of guys, and it's sort of a miss because there's probably 85% women here. Facts. And so, anyway,
we need some guy energy. Can y'all ask us some
what
shit?
What you got? What you got?
I got you. So my brother's getting married next week on Friday, and I was going through so much trying to figure out what a good gift was, and I found myself asking friends this question. So since you guys are all married happily, what would you gift yourself as a newlywed after knowing everything that you know now?
Well, how much money you got?
The hell?
Shit.
Is he a therapist? It's a lot of therapists in here, man. What's going on?
What does he like? He likes nothing?
You know what I would do? I would give them therapy sessions. No, reason why. I'm going to tell you why.
Don't start the fucking relationship off.
Wait. I've already offered that. I offered that out the
gate. Dead ass serious. Let me tell you why. If I could go back in my mind, when I first, getting married is like going to boot camp. Nobody give you no experience. You could tell your mama, oh, just be quiet. You know, they don't never give you no real shit. But going back, if you were able to have a couple of classes on communication, understanding, forgiveness, tokens of affection, these are things that nobody know about. Like, you just get married and be like, oh, it's going to be, every day going to be Saturday. Nah. But like, because they won't know they need it. Mm-hmm. They won't know it. But if you give it to them, they'll be like, because ain't nothing wrong. That's perfect. So ain't nothing wrong. They'll go nice and clean and they'll sit out and then they'll say, well, because since she'll get a chance to say, well, I want him to do this for me and blah, blah, blah. And he'll be like, well, you got to cook. Shit. Yeah.
Bill has a new show called The Therapist coming out on Fox. I would do something for both of them. I would give them something memorable that they could both wear and have together that immortalized the moment. That could be a nice gift too.
Fire.
Chef Kwame opened up a new restaurant out there, so I was just going to treat them to like that experience.
That's beautiful.
But I do still want to do something. But my question with the therapy, straight out the gate, just like, yo, here go two.
No, nigga.
Okay.
They ain't got no problems today.
Got you.
They get married.
Don't ask him.
Shit.
He going through stuff.
No fucking therapy yet. You telling him some shit gonna be wrong. You need. One of y'all gonna fuck up.
That might come out wrong.
He not going to therapy. Let's get that out the way.
All right, so.
Go ahead,
son. One more question. Stand up, brother.
It's last time we see Kenny at Black Love.
Black Love is over.
What's up, brother? So my question is, for many of you who've been married, how have you guys managed through grief as you have you or your spouse have lost a loved one in your marriage?
You trying to make us cry. That shit just took the air out the goddamn.
No, it's true.
So I'm a newlywed, and 6 days after me and my wife got married, my mom passed away. So I wanted to get your experience on, you know, how to navigate that. Advice for a newlywed.
Yeah, I think we all have to understand that it's coming. My father died January 1st. I hosted New Year's Eve, got a call in the morning this past January 1st that my father died. My son had a full ride to Radford University, brain surgery August 27th. You know, two brain surgeries since. Life is going to throw curve balls, bro. And I think the union, though, is what makes you able to get through it. Now, we're all getting older. Our parents, our favorite auntie, our uncles, our favorite, you know, people are getting older. Our friends are dying. Like, I mean, we're in our 50s. People are dying, bro.
You're in your 50s.
I'm in my 30s.
I'm with you, Tom.
I'm trying to get used to saying this shit. The point is, you have to know that it's coming, and it has to be conversation-based prior to, because as long as you know that life is an internal circle, like it's going to, you know, it's going to happen, it's going to keep happening, and you have to, you're going to feel every bit of it. My sister called me today. Her mom has melanoma, like literally kidney failure. Like shit is just going to come. The older we get, the more it comes. But you just have to be fortified together and have an understanding that it is coming. And more importantly, pray together.
Yeah. So this is a real sensitive subject for me that has come up with me and my wife. My mother-in-law passed away while me and my wife were young. And I had never experienced loss. I can tell you, my advice to you is to not do what I did. Because I had never experienced it, I did nothing. And it's something that I have to live with, right? Because now her mom has been away for years, and my wife will tell me she's forgiven me for it, but I still live with it every time the topic comes up. Even if you don't, or if you don't have any experience with dealing with death, it's not an excuse when you're married to do nothing. Figure out a way to comfort her. Figure out a way to hear her. Absolutely. Figure out a way to love her. That's my advice.
For me, this was a really tough year because I lost my dad in June, and my wife lost her father 15 days before. So it was like crazy. What I would say is be kind and like empathy. Let them express, because grief is weird. Like everybody grieves differently. You know what I'm saying? And some days will be good and you'll be like, oh, I'm cool. And then you'll just have a moment and you'll just go straight to the bottom. And you know, it's like, so having a partner, you being there and she being there for you, it's a blessing for you, bro. Because that's what your mom would want. You know, somebody to love you, take care of you. And maybe it's very symbolic of passing on her to you. That's a gift. You know what I'm saying? So God bless you, bro. Yeah.
The unity is so important. And as you said, you know, empathy is the key. My wife lost her father in 2017, and we were not in the same continent at the time. She was working in Australia or New Zealand, sorry, and I was home in Vancouver, and it was very. I wish that I could have been there with her physically. You know, actually, I was in Montreal. I was filming in Montreal, and I was so sorry. I felt, you know, I didn't get a chance to meet her father, which was, you know, it was really hard on me too. I was looking forward to meeting him, but it was just very, very difficult because I was so far. I didn't know it was over the phone, and I was just, babe, I'm sorry. And I just wanted, you know, but I couldn't physically be there to hold her and to comfort her. I know that I could have been better in just spending more time on the phone with her. I know that I had so many things going on, and I felt that what I had done was enough. But in hindsight, I know I could have done more. And but I think that the key is empathy, and really, because I also hadn't lost anybody really close to me, and experienced that kind of loss. And I know that it's inevitable. We're all going to experience it at some point. And every time my mother's on the phone, I, no matter how much she gets on my nerves, I'm just so grateful that I have her, you know, to talk to. And to get on my nerves.
Absolutely. You
know? I was like, Mom, I love you. Yeah. But I just think empathy, and really just put yourself in their position, in their place, and be there for them and love them. And
yes.
You know, yeah.
Black love, do y'all got weed in the gift bags? Will y'all have some weed? This is
got. Did you put it in there?
I'm just playing.
All right, so we're all done. I know
well, that's right.
Yes.
It was good though.
don't do that. Nah.
What are you trying to say, Cody?
Like, this just ran late. But I appreciate you all. And so much of what Cody and I have endeavored to do is just to be able to have the conversations out loud and to be vulnerable and to be willing to share those things. And so the three of them, they've all been on the show. You're not because we're not making the show anymore. But even now, it's just the openness is so important because on the other side where you just don't necessarily know and you don't have perspective, but it's like, oh yeah, they're going through that same shit too. Oh, they're dealing with the same thing that we were dealing with. And it just allows for just a slightly easier conversation so you can get to a place where you have a bit of the language, where you have the ability where if you're not going to go to therapy, you can watch Black Love. Like, you can figure out these other things that can be a buttress to that ability to have the conversation. And so I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the vulnerability and the openness.
Thank you for creating the show, man.
This is a beautiful platform, man. Yeah.
Cody.
This is
Tommy's beautiful wife. They are the cutest couple, and they created Black Love. And it is one of the most wonderful things to see beautiful Black people talk about their relationships, laugh, get mad, crack jokes. It was wonderful. Thank you guys for creating that.
Yeah.